Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that those words actually come at the time of the resurrection of Lazarus, and here in this our resurrection, we believe the same thing now that you are here, all things are possible. It was also the time that at the birth of the conception of Jesus Christ, the presence of God guaranteed that. And Lord, therefore we know that you're being formed to come forth and will soon come forth, all the resurrection, all these things happening, that we are in this hour of possibilities never before. And so we look for you this morning to calm our hearts and to take all thoughts from our minds which should not be there, that we might have the true and engrafted living word come into our hearts and minds, Lord, so that we might be that living word in this hour, Father. We are not asking above and beyond, Lord, what is proper for the bride. And we believe, Father, we take our stand, as the prophet said, to count ourselves bride, counting ourselves one with you and each other. So we just ask you now, Lord, to do this favor for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're on Easter seal number 2. And you'll notice from last night, Brother Branham starts this message with the thought that Easter, which honors the resurrection of Jesus, is the most important event in his life because of what it represents, even the aforementioned resurrection. So Easter is equated with the resurrection, and Brother Branham said that's the most momentous occasion of the ages. Now, many great men had great philosophies of life, and of course they set great standards, great patterns, had great followers, but all those died and they are still in their graves. But Jesus, who set forth the word of life, and he was the word of life, died and rose again, and his tomb is empty. Just as the angel said, see the place where he lay, the tomb is empty. And speaking of Jesus, Brother Branham mentioned his prophesied life, that's his indicated or prophesied life in the Bible, and also his vindication by God, making note that other men called prophets were also vindicated and mentioned in Scripture, though not exactly by name, but it was Jesus alone who died and rose again. Brother Branham stated factually that Jesus' resurrection sealed the word of God forever for the true believer. In other words, the testator became the executor of his own will. And all that which was in the word contingent to him and therefore to us. He rose by the power of God and now brings it into actual expression and manifestation. And he living has become the personal guarantor of every word of God that is to usward who believe. Now, Jesus is in complete charge of man's destiny. And all may come unto God by him and him alone. And to refuse him is to refuse eternal life. He was dead and is alive again forevermore, and has the keys of death and hell and the grave, for he conquered them all. And when he arose, God sent forth the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to dwell in mortal men and quicken them and guarantee to them that they have been received by God and that their bodies, though may be reduced to a spoonful of ashes, mostly having gone back to gases, those bodies will be redeemed and restored from out of the dust in the resurrection. Not only that, but the same Spirit in men quickens the Word of God to the believer so that he can witness to the Word of God. In other words, he will understand the Word of God and he will be able to delineate it upon it correctly. The same Spirit brings forth signs following the believer. For God has set gifts of the Spirit in the church and promised deliverance throughout all the world to every creature. As long as there are believers, there's some place, some sheep, somewhere to go. And even when there aren't sheep, the same signs and wonders can follow that word to the very end. His last commission was Mark 16, which we all know, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and the signs would follow and believe. And since Paul put the church in order and established gifts in order, in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 also. Brother Branham says, according to Galatians 1 and 8, that can never be changed because God is an unchanging God. His word is an unchanging word. And even if God himself were to change it, then God himself would become accursed. In other words, God himself would have to forego everything that lay within him if he took one word and changed it. So you see, you cannot change one word. That's why Brother Branham was so strict in his preaching. Now, these comments by Brother Branham appear to be emphasized by the fact that he continually prayed for the sick and believed that preaching and teaching should bring forth the power of God in healing, miracles, signs, and wonders, and all that God had set in the church. And remember, he tried to set the church in order so that everything would be circumspect, which would mean completely one with the Word of God as laid down by the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God within the framework of the Word of God, so that you are not adding to it, taking from it, or twisting it, so that everything is in harmony as God set it forth. But of course, we know the church did turned it down. And now today, many people are talking about gifts and everything else, and they do not have their churches in order. And so to me, it's Brother Branham said the gifts, as it were, on the shelf, didn't say they were gone, but they must be under an order. All right, we're going back then to where Brother Branham had mentioned his last commission to the church was Mark 16, and that Paul ordained the gifts in the church, and according to Galatians 1 and 8, they positively could not be deleted. They must be there. They are there, but they are under the church order and under the Holy Spirit who gave them. And he says here, I believe that Pentecost began without an ending. In other words, he says here, this is something in God's hands that God starts and he will stop it. Now, the reason I add the word stop it, because you will notice that Brother Branham said the baptism with the Holy Ghost is temporal. And it goes right up to the time that the Holy Ghost himself appears according to the Spirit that comes into the church in Ephesians 1:17. It is not that people will not continue to receive the Holy Spirit and be baptized into the body of Christ, but it is at that particular period that Revelation 10:1 at Revelation 10 and 7 takes place, where you find the complete wind-up, where under the seventh seal is like a Roman candle. It begins to burst and burst and burst and takes you right into New Jerusalem. So what is going on now? Time and eternity have blended. The last ones are coming in. The last ones are being child-trained. The Son of Man ministry, now paralleled by the Son of Perdition ministry, which is the same identical thing, the false anointed ones, will go on and on, even, I believe, as God turns to the Jews, the 144,000 comes in. Then there will be the end of the Great Tribulation, the confrontation and Armageddon, and the cleansing of the earth after the battle, the millennial kingdom will be set up. So those things are now in order at this particular time. Now, in paragraph 34, on page 8, we're reading, no wonder the gospel means good news. And now he's been talking about the Holy Spirit sealing in the individuals and also bringing gifts into the church and helping the people in every way that it is possible for them to be helped. Even as John, the Revelator, in the third epistle, I believe it was, he said, brethren, I wish above all else that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So that's the desire that's set in the church. No wonder the gospel itself means good news. Good news of what? He's raised from the dead. Now, you notice, when you speak of raising from the dead, you are talking of every single thing that is set forth within the encompassment of it. You're not just saying, well, this one raised from the dead isn't that wonderful. Just the same as when Brother Branham came on the scene vindicated. Isn't that wonderful? Well, yeah, but that's not it. See, the raising from the dead is not the accomplishment of the fact that he is raised from the dead because death couldn't hold him. Is what Brother Branham said, what is fellowship to us? And I like that. That's that, or and sonship to us. What is this ultimate that Brother Branham saw in the resurrection? Now notice, he begins to quote, and because I live, you live also. We which were once dead in sin and trespasses, God has quickened us together by that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. And we are now sitting in heavenly places with him, communing with him, talking with him. What a joy to tell the people that story that believe it to be the truth. Now that is a spin-off from Malachi 3:16, or it is the basis to Malachi 3:16, which ends in the ultimate of this hour where we speak of those things which we assuredly know concerning the resurrection of Christ, which is the same Spirit in Jesus in flesh, has appeared in our day and has done the very same things for the Gentiles, showing that he has risen from the dead. Now, looking at this again, no wonder the gospel means good news. Good news of what? He's raised from the dead. And because I live, you shall live also. Now, these are the words of Jesus spoken to us through the church ages, and particularly at this hour when the prophet came. So you'll notice what we are saying here, that Jesus is not glorified on the grounds that he rose, because it couldn't hold him. His body never corrupted. So what you're looking at is that everything concerning this one that was in him is made unto us. Now you understand what I'm saying. He is made unto us righteousness and wisdom and sanctification. He is made unto us. It wasn't that Jesus rose. You understand what I'm saying? Death couldn't hold him. But what was it? In dying for us and being raised for us, now he is made unto us. You get what I'm trying to get across? It's as simple as ABC. It just means that you're gone and he is. It just means you're swallowed up in him. It means that you stand in him complete. It means that God looks at him and counts us. It means that we are his body. It means every single thing that is in the Scripture, he is made unto us, and we receiving it. And that's the thing that boggles people's mind, because they keep looking at the flesh. They don't understand, as Brother Branham said, when you and I were born, there was a spirit allowed of God, but not of God, waiting to take control of us. See? You see, we're just not what we think we are. We're very, very complex. And in the complexity, we fail to give way to the simplicity. What simplicity? The simplicity that is in this word, that he is made unto us. You follow what I'm saying? So therefore, we are out of the picture and he is in the picture. See, then where then is anything but humility? And humility is not somebody groveling and shedding crocodile tears and thinking his own pitiful thoughts, but it is giving God the glory for his thoughts, which he has manifested and proven right in this hour. I'm not getting across to you. I hope somehow God can make it clear. Because I'm telling you the truth. Jesus did not raise for himself. He didn't die for himself. And death could not hold him. Then what's it all about? It's about you and me. This is the great event where Brother Branham said it sealed up the word for the true believer. This ends it all. So now we have become participators to the fullest extent of what lies in God, because what lay in God concerning us was poured into Christ, and He gave it all to us. So we're looking at here something more than identification. Because anybody can identify. You know, you can put on a donkey's mask and make a garment that looks exactly like a donkey and go hee-haw, hee-haw, and identify with the donkey, but you ain't no donkey. You're an ass, all right, but you ain't no donkey. We're going beyond identification. We are entering in beyond the fellowship. We are talking of a sonship of one source. And this one procuring it for us, and we it because He rose. See? He has become the guarantor. Now, we are moving from the evidence by signs of the resurrection to what it did for us, especially in the realm of deliverance. Now, we're going to take our time this morning because, as I say later on, we'll start moving very rapidly. So we're going to go to the book of Romans, the 5th chapter. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have peace with God any other way, which means God is at peace concerning you. Now, you are not at peace concerning yourself, concerning God. How many liars in the congregation? Let me see your hands. Here you are. You're liars, all right. You don't. I can tell you frankly, there's nobody here this morning, I lay my life on it, that have acknowledged to the depth of our soul what this has said. That you really understand and believe that God is absolutely at peace concerning you. There is no more war. He just looks down through Jesus Christ, the blood. Looking to the accomplished work, not only the work, but the actual, as we said, being made for us in Christ. And you can do your best to get God mad at you, and He's not going to get mad, He's not going to be angry, He's not going to be at war. How can He be? Because the Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we are God is at absolute peace with us. The sin question is settled. The warfare is settled. All of these things are settled in Him, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And that glory of God is upon us right now, according to Ephesians, the 1st chapter. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, right here is where people get all messed up about the peace and everything else, because God allows trials to come to us to form character. There is no character without trials and temptation. There simply isn't. You can be innocent. How much character did Eve have in her innocence? What kind of character if a woman would leave her husband and get entangled sexually with a serpent, a beast? No, he looked just like a man, great big handsome feller. But that didn't mean she should have done it. Where was she? Well, you've got to look at these things and understand. There has to be the outworking of character through these trials. And patience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You can never, ever have the Holy Spirit ministering through the Word in portions of love until you go through the trials of life and the fiery places. Everybody's got it backward. Oh, I love the Lord because it's so peaceful today. He gave me every single wish. I never get sick. This never happens. That never happens. Oh, my. Hey, stupid, you la-dee-dawing your way through something I never heard of. You got Sir Thomas More's Utopia or something silly. There isn't one child that God does not try and put through the fire. And the only way you can have character and love, and remember that the outworking of the Holy Ghost in the conduit of the Word, you have to go through the pressures. I have to go through pressures. We don't like it. It says the pressures. It says, oh, they're not for the time being joyous. No, we don't like it. But you knuckle down to them, and it brings forth peace. There is no such thing then as peace of the Holy Ghost except going through the waters of separation, the trials of darkness. And everybody says, oh, God, give me this, give me this. Like the poor old lady, she was saying, she said, oh, Lord God. She said, give me patience. And the preacher said, amen, Lord, send her tribulation. She said, hold it, preacher. I'm asking not for tribulation. I got enough of that now. I want patience. He said, sister, tribulation worketh patience. So he said, don't you try to pay for patience until you pray for tribulation. So Jesus went down to death for you and me. And the sufferings he left her for you and me to carry on. And this is something we have to understand. Now, for when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarce a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure of a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now look at here. How could God commend his love and let Christ die for us? I'm going to commend my love for you by spending all your money. There's got to be a connection here between the Father and the Son somewhere. What was it? God was in Christ reconciling the world. When God is really in his vessel, it's not a matter of torture. It's not a matter of being downtrodden. It's a matter of victory. Now you see, the minds have got to be renewed to that. That's what real repentance is, getting a real understanding. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In other words, we're not only going to be saved from wrath, as though this is the general norm. There isn't any general norm anymore. It's the overflowing, superabundant. Notice what it says. Much more than. You go way beyond a simple statement of justification. You're saved from wrath. How could the bride then go through the tribulation? No matter what comes upon any individual that is a truly born-again child of God, never mind even the born-again, but just take the term a true gene of God, which we're going to talk about if we ever get around to it. How in the world could there ever be wrath upon that individual? The wrath of God is saved up for those who are absolutely disobedient and heap unto themselves the wrath of God. Now it says there is no way the wrath of God falls upon a person. So when you hear a blessing and cursing, you know right away. It's not a curse upon an individual that's a child of God. It's a correction. And some of them sure have to go through some hard correction. Some even die for it. They're corrected, all right. Yeah. See? For if then, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now receive the atonement, the reconciliation. But what he's talking about there, because the atonement's a thing that's already been passed. This is a reconciliation. What do you mean reconciled? Well, it means you've got peace. Everything's been taken care of. See? Now that's at the end time. You've got these you've got these pact breakers. The people that break the pacts. They don't want peace. See, they annul this very thing. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all of sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. Now notice, how great was the offense? It was great enough that God himself had to take things in hand in order to work a propitiation. Now it says this, not as the offense, there is no comparison of guilt to grace. And what you're looking at here is the overflowing abundance of him who has been made for us and made to us. Now all of these negatives, you're looking at what came out of Adam. Adam was a true son of God, but he went haywire. He went off the word with his wife. Propagated the world with children born into sin, now born mortal and unto death. And in their weakness now, even though they're innocent at birth, they have within themselves those things which are going to bring forth by their nature anything that is crude and cruder and crudest until there is no limit to their imagination and what they'll do with it. They heap to themselves sin like you cannot believe. Now, but it says, but not as the offense, so is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. Now, not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. This is how you can see that men like Solomon and men like David sinned so horrendously. But the grace of God could not wipe them off the record. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. It doesn't say you're going to reign. It says he's going to do it. Therefore, as the offense of one, therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification. Brother Brand said, you didn't even sin. You never did, a little bride. For as by one man's disobedience and many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign unto righteousness, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ the Lord. In other words, making you an absolute fit candidate by reason of him who died and rose again, that you go in there, no questions asked, because you belong there the same as he belongs there. So when we talk about this, what Brother Branham said, and because I live, you live. If I'm dead, you're dead. If I say get out, you're gone. But he said, listen, everything that accrues to me, everything, you have it. Brother Branham categorically said it. He used the same expression that's used in the kenosis. As in Philippians, they call it the kenosis. Pouring into. God poured into Christ and Christ poured into the church. Absolutely 100% scriptural. Now, what a joy to tell that story that believe it to be the truth. Sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now watch. Watch Brother Branham at 35 now. I'm wondering today at what is happening. Are we really getting people to God, or are we just getting them to church? I'll read a little further. We must get them to Christ, where there is the quickening power. It's good to go to church, sure. But if that's as far as we go, it's not far enough. When you come to church, that's good. But to go on to Christ from the church, because we must receive this quickening power if we ever expect to be in that general resurrection, because it's the only thing will ever bring us from the dead. For if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, it'll also quicken, bring to life your mortal body. What a promise. Now I want to look at this. In my estimation, Brother Branham, at this particular point, though he did not want to emphasize, he was hinting at what is happening. Read it. I'm wondering today at what is happening. Now, he's saying here, I've got news for you. You think that such and such is happening, and it's not. But something is happening. And you're going to be surprised when you find out. Now, what is he saying? The church is building Satan's Eden. They're not building the kingdom of God in the body of Jesus Christ and the things of our Lord and Savior. They are literally deceived and deceiving and building Satan's Eden. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Might as well. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able to bear it. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God giving the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now you see, what Paul is hitting here is the fact that people are too much like sheep, carnal sheep. They're looking for leadership. They look for leadership to lead them into green pasture. Yum, 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 good, good, good. That's communism. And then when they go sour, they turn on the guys that let them in. And I don't say I blame them. That's the way life is. Because life somehow has had to have leadership. And remember, Adam and Eve in the garden were under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. So, these people here are not looking to God. They are looking to men. And the minute you start looking to man, you have a problem that said, cursed is he that maketh flesh his arm, because the arm of flesh will fail. He's supposed to make God his strength. Now, what is that man? Is he literally cursed? The curses fall upon him. The man himself may not be cursed and will not be. He himself will escape as by fire. But he's going to have problems which are far and beyond the problems that God gives to people to child train them. Now, child training does not exist of a man coming in the room and hitting you over the head with a 4x4 and saying, now that's to smarten you up, you better look out for the future. God doesn't do that. God's correction, first of all, comes by the word and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Then when they disobey, you'll find that the shoe begins to pinch and you've got more corns than you thought you had. You'll begin limping around. Because God will correct his people. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. Now he's talking about a field. And the next thing he talks about a building. So therefore you put the field and the building together. You have a living plant coming up to God. You're not mixing your metaphors. You're just clarifying the situation. According to the grace of God which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if a man build upon this foundation gold, silver, remember he's the word, silver and so on, or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Now you notice that word day in there. There's a day of declaration. In other words, there's a day of judgment. That's going to be Hebrews 3:12. That's going to be this hour of the judge, the Son of Man. This is where Brother Branham's discernment came in. The prophet of God comes on the scene. The Spirit of God is here working through man. Just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. And the judge is here, absolutely vindicating it. He's going to try what sort of work it is. And the sort of work that Brother Branham said, man has built Satan's Eden. And it's to the pinnacle. It's to the headship. And the headship has been defined by the Son of Man ministry and the Son of Perdition ministry. You can't get away from it. Judas doing the works. And he of the devil. Now, if any man work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself saved yet so is by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, and the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolish with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Now he's talking to full gospel businessmen here. Now what did these men say? Oh, hallelujah, did they have a fantastic vision. And in the vision they said, I want to tell you people something. The ministers have failed. We're taking over. Well, where did they get that from? Out of their own deluded heads. And the preachers were too smart for them. Oh, they said, you rich people, you got it. And they buttered them up and they milked them. Guernsey cows. Not a bunch of old Herefords that are don't give any cream. And then the full gossip businessmen called in the mugwumps, the stupid little people that wanted money and thought that maybe they could get some, and the businessmen milked them, sold them sky blue stock and everything else. A money-making golden calf fraudulent scheme is all this bunch is, with their Trinitarian creeds and their dogma, and they have built a superb Satan's Eden. Because now you've got the cream of the crop, or the last church age, sold out to the golden calf. And Rome's got the gold and the Jews got the paper. Little Christopher asked me last night, what do you mean by the paper? It means they got the stuff that's written on. You own so many stocks. You have so many bonds. You have got so many shares. Ask a question, how did the Jews get it? I ask you, is Besky a Jew? Or Bosky, or is he not? What does the name Lehman sound like to you? How did they get it? Because it's in God's divine order. The gold and the paper grow side by side. And it's a paper that everybody gets confused about because the Jews got it. And they're turning more and more and more on the Jews. Mr. Reagan helped them along beautifully because he led the leverage buyout. What was a leverage buyout? Sky blue stock. Stock not worth a plug nickel. They give you 15% or 20%. Conniving bunch of idolaters. Got the people to invest their money. And now their money's worth nothing. Like Campbell came down out of Canada, took over Lazarus and federated the whole bunch. Sold out Gold Circle. Now he's bankrupt. And people have lost billions of dollars to that gook. I bet you 10 to 1 he's a Jew. You know why Hitler killed the Jews? Why America's turning on the Jews? The paper. Rome's got the gold. And the Jews and Rome will have to come together. It's all over. Of course, Batra's a smart man. He's an Indian. He says, well, have some money. Ha, ha, ha. To keep your money, you're going to have to sign up with the Antichrist. If you got, like I keep laughing about, a few little pieces of gold I got, they'll take it. They can have it. In the meantime, I think it's kind of fun. Like you say, well, Brother Bailey, you got funny voice. I never said I didn't. See, they are building Satan's Eden. Now, he preached Satan's Eden. He just intimates it here. Now he said, church is a good thing. Why, sure it is. It's better than the pool hall and a bar room and a discotheque. But nevertheless, it's still a house of prostitution, spiritual. Brother Branham said, people go to church to become good people. That's right. But Paul said, you can leave in worse shape than when you came. Brother Branham is telling us. Because if you go there and you miss Christ, I ask a question, where are you going to get him? So I'm going to get him outside the church. Well, I got news for you. When he stood outside the church, he was knocking on the door for those in the church. So you better be in there somewhere. You don't just go out in the desert like Philip. The Ethiopian eunuch, even he came out of something. He came out of a type of Judaism. Now he said, you come to the church. Why would you go to the church? Because, critically, the church should be the seed bin. The bin where the seed is kept. That it may be sown in you as God's husbandry. That as God's plant you may be put into the living building, his temple, and grow up unto him. Which is the very head where we are right now. But the Bible says this succinctly, and Brother Branham is saying it from Romans 8, the 9th verse, the last part. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So therefore you see the essentiality of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, for if the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will also quicken, bring to life your mortal body. What a promise. Now, the promise of the resurrection therefore surpasses all the healings that have ever been accomplished, because healing is only a type of what lies ahead. Paragraph 36. Notice, the very essence of this resurrection is to tell, to show, and to prove that Jesus has raised up from the dead. He is not dead. He is living. He lives here. He is in us. I'll be with you, even in you, a little while, and the world sees me no more. Yet you shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, unto the end of the world. Now he says, the very essence of the resurrection. In other words, what is it really about? What is really resurrection? Don't call it an event. Don't make it a special date. Get to the reality. What is resurrection? Now, Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. So, therefore, resurrection is not an event, even about a person. It is the person. So, we're looking at it. I am that resurrection. Now, as we look at this, what Brother Branham is saying, he says here, it is not an event, it is not history. But it is actually a life. Christ in his bride. So what is the resurrection? Christ by the Holy Spirit in the bride. That's why you'll find Brother Branham speaking of being resurrected with him in heavenly places at this very moment, based upon what Paul said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, with blessed all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See? According as chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What's he saying? He said, you are in that resurrected one right now, and you are a part of the resurrection. How in the world can you be in the resurrection and not be a part of it from the beginning? Why, that, you know what you'd be having? You'd be having a car that is made without a design. And when it doesn't work, well, I must have left something out. Are you going to tell me that God didn't have a perfect plan? And everything he was, he poured into Christ. I am that resurrection, and I am in you. So therefore, you are now resurrected spiritually. And as Brother Branham said, since the head came out of the grave, the body has to follow. But it can only follow in its own time. And there is a people, as Brother Branham said, concerning Elijah, who went up in a rapture signifying those who don't die, and Elijah, the one signifying those who do die. You are fleeing here then, therefore, that in this hour, Christ is not just the resurrection, but I am the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. You got your two wings. Why? Because this is that hour. Now, I want to go over this again with you because so many people don't understand. They don't understand the roles of God and the hour of God, and they get it all mixed up. And when you get it mixed up, you've ruined the ball game. All right. He has come back to be with us and indwell us. That started at Pentecost. Now he's here to wind it up. Why? Because he came down, as Brother Branham said, with the shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the shout was the message which gathers us together. And that's absolutely 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse number 1. positivity, the prophet's 100% on target. And then he said positivity, the next thing, which is the voice of the archangel, is to raise the dead, which is positively true because the trumpet must sound to bring them forth. And then there's the last trumpet call where they go up to the marriage supper, to the summoning. Now, paragraph 37. Now, as Christians, he's talking about born again. We all claim he is alive, and even those that aren't born again claim he's alive. But he says, we have been quickened from death unto life by his Spirit. And if we haven't been quickened, then we have not been made alive. Again, I quote to you where he's quoting from. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, come on, let's just go back to that because I think I better put it in context. Romans 8. Now, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the earth. Spirit. Now, you notice the flesh comes first before the Spirit because we are born into a natural election wherein later, as we're born again, proves our spiritual election. Foreknowledge, election, predestination. 6. For to be carnally minded is death. Now, if there's no way that you can come to the second step, it proves you never were with him in the beginning. Jesus said, you are not of my seed. You're Abraham's children, sure, but you're not his seed. Why? Because the seed of Abraham, looking forward, was Christ. They were not in him. He said, certainly my word has no place in you, because he said there's no place in you for it. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But he said, you are not of my sheep. You are of your father the devil, and the works of him will you do. Now, here's what Paul is saying, the same thing. Now, we're going to find up in the church what's what. How many churches today literally believe in a true baptism with the Holy Ghost? Hardly anybody. If you're a good Roman Catholic, you go up and take your first communion. The priest drinks the wine, of course. Usually, I suppose maybe they might have stopped that by now because the people caught on is pretty good booze. But they take a little bit of bread, and he gets it. You ever heard such hogwash? Where do they get it? Where's their proof? Where's the voice that answered back? Where is anything? Until the son of perdition ministry came to parallel the son of man perdition, the Catholic Church had nothing in it by way of healings. And today they can raise the dead. And they've been doing it. And they speak in tongues. And don't tell me they don't, because I can prove it to you. They got signs and wonders and miracles. And they're no more full of the Holy Ghost than nothing when you make the Pope the vicar of Jesus Christ and say, he's Christ on earth. And you kiss his ring and you have orders of nuns and this and that and the other thing. 100% contrary to the word of God, forbidding the priest to marry. So now they're full of homosexuals and sin and everything else. They've always been that way. The Protestants are no different. Where the Catholics went one way, the Protestants went the other way. One word off. I don't care if you're Catholic or Protestant. 2,000 years ago, they got the wind of hell blew the bullets off to one side. Today, we're 2,000 years off the mark. End up in a Trinity, and people still can't understand Trinity cannot be a God if this is the accepted understanding of theology. They don't understand it. Come on. Oh, they say, Brother Bill, this is one place you didn't go up. I say, Paul said, you got another Jesus, another Spirit, another way. Oh, but we didn't go up. Poor Dr. Carroll the Baptist, the fine man of God. At least I hope he was. He wrote a book proving the Baptists never were Protestants. They came from John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't have any kids. Oh, I said, Brother Dale, that's not what he meant. He meant they came right down from John the Baptist's faith. That's a lie. Because you'd have to prove your ancestry all the way back. You talk about trite. And yet we're supposed to be the ugly people because we've got a mindset. We've seen reality. We saw a vindicated man. We see a picture of the supernatural. We know what came forth. Oh, but those guys, who. And the Pentecost was supposed to know something about the supernatural. They even saw Brother Branham as a devil. They forgot to understand this. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? They were casting out devils in the time of Jesus Christ. Oh, you talk about sin hardening people's hearts. You talk about the devil. They think the devil's out there and rape and murder, and sure he is, but that's merely an evidence of being off the word, my brother, my sister. How can people be so loose in their thinking? So they in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. That's the difference. He's made unto you life. He's made unto you sanctification. He's made unto you righteousness. He's made unto you resurrection. He's made unto you all these things. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. And what came out of his death and resurrection? Which was what? Christ imparted to you and me. You're catching it now. Finally, we're breaking through. All right. I don't have discernment. I know when words come back in my face and when they don't. I learned that when I was a kid preacher, 20 years of age. We got rid of it. We prayed and fasted 3 days. From then on, the word went one way. Oh, yeah, Christ did not many mighty works because nobody believed. I'm not Jesus Christ. I would never even pretend. No. Listen, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, you're going to die. Healed 1,000 times, you'll still die. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And he is made unto us righteousness. On what grounds? We're full of him. All it takes is the most minute drop. How big is a sperm? 15,000 across the diameter of one of my hairs. Contains life. How much of God do you need in you? Little seed. See, that Brother Branham said, God so great yet reduced himself down to a sperm and egg. That just gives you an idea. Now, but if the Spirit of him that dwells in you, that's the one Brother Branham quoted. And up here it says, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But then if you have the Spirit, you are one of his. We'll talk about more later on. Brother Branham gets to it. Now, listen. He said, we're going to break into this subject, the Lord willing, and kind of teach it for a few minutes, how that we are quickened and can be sure that this is the truth. Can we know it's the truth? Okay. Paragraph 36. Let's read, first of all, now this is your life, this is my life. Let's go to 36. Notice, the very essence, the essentiality of the resurrection, what it actually is itself, is to tell, to show, and to prove that Jesus has raised from the dead. He is not dead. He is living. He lives here. He lives in us. That's what he says, the essentiality of it. This is the resurrection. No wonder Brother Branham said this is the greatest and most momentous event. This is the one I like. Call it Easter. Call it after a heathen goddess. Who cares? It's identified with the resurrection, and the resurrection means this. That's why when he preached on Christmas and ran down Christmas trees and had one himself, he was merely telling you, don't get that lousy spirit on you, but no matter what they do and what they call it, get back to the true spirit of Christ. Christ wasn't born December 25th. So I'm going to tell you one thing. You can honor his birth on that day if you honor his birth. And Christ never rose on Easter. He rose according to what the Passover was at that time of year. But I don't care if it's identified with an Easter pagan holiday and the world out there has chickens and eggs and rabbits. We come to this church and we're hearing what the resurrection is. And we identify it with the Word of God vindicated. And we care not what they do. And we celebrate. People turn their backs and snort as though they some got these, what are these, Seventh-day Adventists and the Amish and this bunch. They, with their goofy little hats and they're trying to worship God on a Saturday. And they say, you guys, you're the mark of the beast because you got this. Hogwash, they got the mark of the beast. Don't ever back up for that tripe. God, give us the strength to die in this hour like martyrs for Jesus Christ. Go out of this world at least meaning something we ever meant in our lives. So artificial. World points a finger. They haven't got a clue to what this is all about. They haven't got a clue to reality. Let me tell you what. That old guy that had the brains was Naaman. He perfectly healed under Elisha's great ministry. Leprosy left him entirely. Now he said, "Oh, servant of God, I want to ask one question." He said, "Do you think God will mind?" Because he said, "My master, the king, he believes in Dagon, the fish god." He was fishy, all right. Now he said, "He's going to lean on my arm as we go." But he said, "Is it all right? Because as he worships his god, I'll be worshiping the true god." I said, "Go ahead." He said, "Ain't nothing to it. I don't care what those guys do out there, long as we have in our hearts the truth. I don't care any other church does. Doesn't matter to us. We ought to go." I'm a big enough nut to sort of make it matter because I like to harp about everything. You know, I was thin all my life and therefore I take up every cause under high heaven and fight it. You get feisty. But I don't mean to be that way. The real truth is this. Listen, no matter what they say and do, we stay with the Word of God. The very essence. Now, he said, "Now this is your own light." Right there. "This is my light. This is where we're at. This is the resurrection. This is Christ in us." The sealing. The perfection. It's all of it. If this isn't truth, what I'm fixing to say, then I'm one of the most foolish people in the world. I've given my life for nothing, for something that there's nothing to, and so have you. But if it is the truth, then I owe everything that I am. I owe everything that I could be to the cause for which I'm standing. I think that we must not lose our enthusiasm. Or in other words, a true righteous zeal because of the righteousness that we are standing for, which is the rightness of God Himself vindicated. Now he's going to stand for it. I hear in this man's words the cry of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I also preached unto you, which also I have received, and wherein you stand." Now listen, that was the order of the church. I got it. I proved it. You took it. Amen. That's it. Well, now, just a minute. I think I should prove a few things for myself. Out of the way, brother. The door just closed in your face. You never were one of them. Well, I think I ought to have a say in this. Sorry you missed the boat, too. Can you believe for 1 minute that Noah listened to anybody outside of God in building that ark? Do you realize what a task that guy had devolved upon him by the Word of God? "Noah, you build an ark for saving 8 of you and all the rest of the life in the world according to how I want it." Anybody who would offer advice would offer the wrong advice because he wasn't part of that. Like Brother Branham said, "How can a man that believes all the Word have fellowship with a guy that only believes part of it?" Who? Mine. "But by which you're also saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." See, your mind's got a lot to do with this. The perfectly repentant mind, the perfectly controlled mind says, "I don't care what anybody says, and most of all, I don't care what I say. I only care what the prophet said. God help me to get it and in the right places to understand it. But I know it's true." For I delivered unto you that, first of all, that which I have also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. Notice according to Scripture. That He was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of which the greater part remain of this present time, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, and of all the apostles. And last of all seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of all apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, for I have persecuted the church of Christ. Paul admits that he was the 12th apostle. The other guy they voted in wasn't it. And you know what? They came fresh from Pentecost. No, they weren't from Pentecost yet. They came fresh from the resurrection, and they're messed up already. They voted the guy in. No wonder the people have problems voting. They have a hierarchy. I vote in the General Assembly, the Superintendent, the President, blah, blah, blah. Pretty soon the whole thing's gone to dogs. Now, 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, Paul said, I am preaching what was vindicated, and you know it. Why are you trying to contradict me? That's what he said. And if Christ be not risen, no, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Because I am claiming a vindicated revelation, which you know jolly well was vindicated. And the question is then, who in the name of God or whatever there is out there vindicated it? Now do you see why Brother Branham called the resurrection the seal of the entire Word of God? I read it here. Oh, the prophet was such a marvelous person. Everything he said was Bible. I know people like to criticize me because this is my Bible. Well, you have your Bible. I can take this right back to there. I did it just now. It's the Word of God. You don't have to worry about a vindicated prophet. You worry about yourself being foolish enough to turn him down. You know, let's face it. Keys. Vindication. No different. Well, Brother Vail, I got another name for those. Those are little twisty things that open locks. I have another name for that. Proof. Still vindication. And furthermore, it's indicated vindication. We could go further. And if Christ is not risen, our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, we're found false witness of God, because we have testified that God... of God, that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. How do you know? By the baptism with the Holy Ghost of vindication. It's living reality. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his appearing. His parousia. So we're right facing the resurrection again. And Brother Branham is preaching a tremendous sermon to these people, and they're not getting it. Some are, I'm hope. Brother Carl Williams. A few people to go down to Phoenix with Brother Branham. You know, go up there from Tucson. See? Says right here, if it's the truth, I owe everything to it. Everything I am, everything I could be, every single thing, it's my entire life. Now he said, if it isn't so, where does it put me? Now, he said what Paul said. Paul based upon vindication. He never preached anything that wasn't vindicated. And here's where the human mind boggles. Brother Branham said, I'm the only man that could tell it as it was shown. He was telling you with the prophet's mind, he was the only one that could go back verbatim, tell you every dream you had and where you're wrong, every vision he had, and every word that God said. He had perfect recall. Luke had perfect recall. Mark had perfect recall. John had perfect recall. because you're dealing with the Holy Ghost, and then say, well, I don't know that I can take it. Well, I'm going to tell you. Then why do you even bother with the Bible? They are building Satan's Eden. They will enthrone the Antichrist. They will miss the presence. They will miss the appearing. They'll miss the rapture. They'll miss everything. And they said, my God, oh God, how could you do it to me? Well, he said, hey. Isn't it funny? Everybody knows all about the young and the restless. I've never seen it once, but I see it's supposed to be. I think it's gone. I don't know if it's gone anymore. I don't think I've ever seen Dallas. Might have seen one little episode one time or corner of my eye in some stories. Everybody knows all about it. Thousands of hours before the TV. Oh, they got TVs. But you know, everybody should get rid of these cotton picking TV, and I think maybe it's time for video cassettes to go too. Because they know all about it. But who knows about this? 30,000 people saved in one time in Africa. Truckloads of prostheses and wheelchairs and canes and God knows what. Down the streets of Durban. Well, oh well, that's the devil. Satan's Eden. Brother Branham didn't say for nothing, based on his vindication, that he recalled every word. No vision ever failed. Nothing ever failed that was truly thus saith the Lord demonstrated. Because it can't. Oh, I hear people say he's supposed to have said so-and-so. I wasn't there. Don't tell me what he said. Get it right on tape in a meeting. He never had one fail yet. And he said, listen, I'll tell you what. If God tells me to go to that graveyard and raise Abraham Lincoln or George Washington, he said, I'll be there. Tomorrow morning, the armies of the earth can shoot me down if I can't do it. All the rest said, bless God, if you just believe, brother, I think we can get this thing moving. Well, I got news for you. Bless God. You believe all you want, you ain't going to get no resurrection. You had better be the resurrection. Through the putting on of our Lord Jesus Christ, who then made all things to us. Takes a while to get used to, but it's there. 39, I see Easter approaching. It does something down in me. As I know that is that day that the thing was sealed forever in the sight of God. In other words, it's like the New Jerusalem. There ain't no more. That's it. And the resurrection is the ultimate because it is that which puts it there. Everything is sealed in the ultimate of God. Every promise from Eden and for 6,000 years depends on it. No resurrection, as Paul says, what is there any use in this life of believing Christ? Well, I'll say, hey, just a minute. Aha! You're forgetting that Brother Branham said that resurrection meant the Spirit that raised him, that brought about the resurrection, comes to you and me as individuals. The resurrection means because I live, said Jesus, you live. The resurrection means because I overcame, you are overcome and overcome with me. You don't think for one minute that Christ didn't overcome you? Who fought the battle with your mind to bring you to Christ? He did. My sheep hear my voice. Who can resist God? That was the argument they raised. They came against Paul. He said, if the whole thing lies in predestination, then he said, who's resisting God? He said, what's it all about? He said, shut up and listen. Who are you, old man, to reply against God and even ask questions? So he put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how? How does it work? I read the book. I do this. I pray. I do this. Now, just a minute. Get away from your own stupid thinking. Go to the Bible. What does it put on the Lord Jesus Christ? What do all these things mean? We won't have to. We don't deal with them today, but they're in there. And they are to be believed, and they are to be received, and they all come about by the resurrection because that is the essentiality of it all. Paragraph 40. Now we notice, it is the same Spirit that raised him from the grave that is dwelling in us. Now how could that be? The Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelling in us. It is the Spirit that quickens. Now watch. It is not the Word that quickens. It is the Spirit that quickens the Word, or gives the word life, gives it wings to fly, gives it access. It's the Spirit that does that. Now, just a minute. That's exactly right. You take this Word of God. And without the Holy Spirit enlivening it, this is just another book. Brother Branham said, Lord, open the page of this Bible. Any man's hand can open the pages, but only you can open the truth within the pages. And open that Word. Now, people, therefore, they come along and they say, bless God, I believe in the resurrection. Well, then that settles it. No, it does not settle it. That's the open door. What comes opening the door to believing it? The Holy Spirit must come in. Because that resurrection tells you it is the Spirit of God raising Jesus, and He came, and He said, and Paul came, and He said, vindicated, the Spirit of God dwells in you, or you ain't got it. You're none of His. Now, you can read this book all you want, hear it preached all you want. Brother Branham kept exhorting his church, what about the token? What about the token? The token himself is here, and the actual baptizer, and the baptism is still extant, and you can have the Holy Ghost within you. What are you doing about it? Now, this is the same sermon. Where's the resurrection in you and me? How can the Word of God be quickened that the prophet brought unless the Word of God, unless the Holy Spirit was in the Word that was brought and the Holy Spirit in us? See, he said, I taught you as babes, I gave you milk. But he said, you refused to go on. And the Pentecostal church was a tongue-talking, gift-possessing church. Oh, hallelujah, we've arrived, we speak in tongues, we got this. Oh, hogwash, that's baby stuff. Stopping a hurricane is baby stuff about in comparison to you get the Holy Ghost and being part of the resurrection, brother. So let's get that flat. Because you can even raise the dead and go to hell. Brother Branham said you can receive the Holy Ghost Pentecostal style 1,000 times a day and still go to hell. I'm not running with stuff like that, making odd quotes. I'm just trying to explain and say, hey, listen, get with it. Get our thinking and our understanding lined up. What is the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and how do we know we have it? How do we know we're part of the resurrection? How do we know we're part of this which seals up the entire Word of Almighty God? This man said wonderful things in here. So deep they just keep me gasping. I preached this morning and I understand it, but this afternoon it may be caught plumb out of my skull. You think I'm a whiz kid. I got news. You're goofy. I'm not a whiz kid. My friends always phone me and say, Brother Ben, you said so-and-so. Oh, God, here it comes again. I don't even know what I said. But I said right. Oh, let this get into our hearts and our minds, brother, sister, the way it was with the prophet, because this is just before he died. This is last Easter. He says this could be my last. He speaks of dying at age 56. But he preaches the rapture in Yuna, conditions the rapture, Yuma, Arizona. That encapsulated the whole thing. And we're about to see the bursting forth of a portion of the resurrection, that which is manifested in flesh, which is here in the power of the Holy Ghost, himself being the resurrection, and he made that unto us. See how beautiful it is. It's not the Word that quickens, it's the Spirit. That quickens the Word, or gives the Word life, gives it wings to fly, gives it access. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. That's exactly how it is with the prophet. The word of the hour always comes to life because the Holy Ghost anoints it. God's always got someone to talk for him, but in the last day he speaks from heaven. In other words, the one that is from heaven speaks, and the mighty one from the throne comes down to put upon land and sea, and he raises his hand toward heaven, and he swears at that time the prophet standing there to bring the last message of the last age. True. All right. Time's gone. 12 minutes, who needs it? Stop right here. That'll give us a point to review from Wednesday night and continue on. So I hope you're getting some good from this message here. Because I tell you what, you always get great good from what the prophet said. No one can compare with the prophet. The prophet cannot be judged. Many people try to do that. They say, well, people come around me and they say, well, Brother Bly, oh, I've had it from women especially. Two women, one man, both nutty, all nuttier than fruitcakes. Watch their lives. You can choose what they are. While they came, Brother Bale, to check you out. Well, one guy said, Brother Bailey said, I found you with the Word. I shrugged it off. Just tell you one thing. That guy ever writes you and asks you for borrow $100, you're going to pay it back, don't lend it. And you'll never get it back. That happened to me, but I knew I wasn't going to get it back, so here's what I can afford, you keep it. Those women, where are they? So I'm not infallible. But you come with a spirit of just checking around as though you got some. I just ask you one question. Woman, man, what are you doing here today? If you're coming here to check this pulpit out, what are you doing today? If I'm looking for a church, I have to suggest you look elsewhere. I'm not interested in you. So you're mean? No, I'm not mean at all. I'm just telling you the truth. Hey, look, you've got to come in faith believing. Because if you are a sheep, I can be a Balaam standing here. And the word of God come out of my mouth and bless you to the highest heights and the deepest depths. I said I'd be nice and I am nice. Just told you a nice thing. Let's rise and be dismissed. Wednesday night, 7:30. You all come. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank and praise you for your goodness, especially your goodness, bringing such a lovely group of people together from far and near. We love these people and appreciate them. Have great confidence in them, Lord, that though they may be going through trials and some battles even of faith, we know, Lord, that if that Spirit dwells in them, and we believe, Father, we're believing for them, they are not going to miss anything because you have been made unto them. And they stand, Lord, not in themselves, nor by themselves, but they stand in you and we with each other. As it says in the blessed Holy Scripture, if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We're depending upon that, Lord. We're depending upon that which we have seen ourselves in the sense we were allowed to see certain things. But we're depending more upon the revelation of those and by those, especially Brother Branham, who himself saw and talked ear to ear, mouth, lip to lip, eye to eye. Not just dreams and visions and things coming to pass, but stood right there in the presence of Moses, Paul, and William Branham. Father, we're grateful that we can take our stand on this and have what it takes, the bravery, the courage to stand right up and say, yes, I believe it. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know in the form of the Holy Ghost, the great capstone came right down here on this earth. And we saw the Son of Man ministry. We see the Son of Perdition ministry. We see the gathering in, and we know the dead are soon going to come out of the grave because He here today is the Word and the resurrection. And pretty soon we'll crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the altogether lovely one. Our Father and our God, we know that there are people who have needs this morning, and we know that you can meet every single need. You know, Lord, I don't have any gift of healing. Don't have any discernment. But we have a word the prophet left, and he said, there should be this, and they're called signs that follow the believer. In your name, the sick could be healed, Lord, and the various things could be done. So we pray for those this morning, Lord, and we're very happy to pray individually and earnestly for them. At this particular time, hear our prayer, O God, just before we go and depart from this building. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Now, there's those who want prayer this morning. You come right along now. Any number, doesn't matter, 10, 15, 20, the whole church. Just going to do it. Brother Branham said, I got no special faith and no special power, no special nothing. But we do have a special word that the prophet said we ought to be doing. And if we ought to be doing it, we're going to do it. And, of course, to do it means we're doing the will of God. And we'll do our will. We'll believe. Hands are laid on the sick, they recover. All right, we'll just go down and start praying for you. Okay, Cindy. Heavenly Father, we know that you made the body, you made it to heal, Lord, and something's getting in the way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we say, be removed this body and heal. Let's heal, whatever it is, leave her.
and she go happy and home in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, another infirmity, perhaps brought on by wrong work or some type of wrong configuration of his body, put it through, we don't know, Lord, but we know again that this, Lord, is not his. Since he took it on Calvary, we pray now in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, remove this from Dave, Lord, and for your grace, Lord, because you were made for him, Lord, and you became him, he became you, Lord. That's what Brother Branham said. So, Lord, we rebuke this thing in Jesus' name and look for your help. Amen.
Okay. We have a problem with the skin, especially the spine. Heavenly Father, we know that man has to have the spine to be erect, Lord. And if our brothers come to you, he stood erect before you due to the resurrection power of Christ. We pray now that that same spirit be loosed in his spine, Lord, and he be touched and all infirmity be loosed in his body. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that. Okay, well, maybe nerves could be doing it. Usually that's it. Heavenly Father, we know the prophet mentioned many times people are getting nervous and getting that problem in their stomach, Lord. Many times they can even refer from the heart. We don't know, but Lord, we know that this brother needs healing, and that's all we need to know. In the name of Jesus Christ, we hands upon him, and we plead for his healing now, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go. Back to shoulders. Lord, we know that a man, doctor, man, smart man told Joe that he was born with a peculiar condition inheriting the genes, Lord. But we know that that's a matter handed down from Adam by way of sin. And your own word this morning was read and said, you can't compare Adam to Jesus. And Lord, we don't do it. We're looking for healing now in spite of every sin of being healed for your grace and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. I believe.
About the medicine he was having at the time, and kind of very, very intolerable.
Okay. Good enough, let's pray then. You're intolerable. You just got to be the Lord. Heavenly Father, here's the case of medication run its course. Brother Bannon himself said, I take my children to see a doctor, and he can't do anything. I take you to higher authority. This is your child, Lord. Would you lay hands on her and bring the name of Jesus Christ now, Lord, that your spirit touch her now and make her body completely well so that it would be impossible under any condition to tolerate anything because she has the disease of diabetes. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. I've seen your toes falling off, sister, for you. Lord, whatever's wrong with any here in Jamie's ear, we know it's not of you. We realize that the enemy has done it all time. Command, Lord, not of ourselves, but the command of ourselves that we look to you at this time that you accomplished by your resurrection. Father, we believe in lies and ask you for healing and believe, Lord, that she receives it in Jesus' name. Please come to prompt you. Okay. Father, again, we come to you for that which doctors are not able to help, or perhaps not even can diagnose. We know, Lord God in heaven, that you know all about it. And you never said tuberculosis, never said this, never said that. You just said healing was in the atonement for us, the prophet indicated. Lord, we bring for his touch now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask again. Amen. Heavenly Father, you come to you and you said, suffer little children unto me, forgive them not. And you know that this is a case of particular invitation in your ways. So, Father, in Jesus' name, lay hands upon her, whatever causes these sin problems, let it be loosed from her body now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Okay, we're at the healing of the bones. Father, we know that doctors may not agree that her bones can heal just as a child's bones can heal, but we don't agree with doctors. We look to you, Lord, for her bones to knit and be whole. Just as was at the time of Job, his skin came as a child. There's nothing there that says bones cannot become as a child, but let her bones heal, Lord. Let it be better than ever in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I can do that. True? Okay, some kind of crime. So, Father, we look to you now for this
stroke condition. You know, it could be many, many things, but we don't have to know. All we know is that this thing is here. So, Father, we pray for this stroke condition. May the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now remove this from him, O God, because it is part of the resurrection. And we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we know that you work in mysterious ways, but this is not one mysterious way because it's been laid entirely before us. That this Spirit indwells us, the Spirit that's in the church and the individual is here from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which gives us this light to our mortal bodies. Father, we bring now for that light to touch her mortal body because her own life is not doing it. Let your light do it, Lord, because you have become under her resurrection and all these things. Whatever the need is, and we know they're twofold, that it be manifested that the work has been done in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Okay, Lord, we have problems within the ears and these problems in the head, Lord. We know that that's absolutely something that goes on in the world. That's never before, pollution and all these things contribute. But Father, we know that there's not one thing said in your word about conditions. It's only said in there, look, I have it for you. So in Jesus' name, lay hands upon the need. This condition be there, and we thank you that it does. Sure. It can be fine. There can be so many things. Heavenly Father, again we look to you. We don't need to understand symptoms. The doctor might go by symptoms and do a good job diagnosing. But Lord, the main thing, can be healed. And we know we don't have to diagnose. We don't have to worry about symptoms. The Lord God in heaven, you remove the symptoms because you take away the trouble. Father, remove, we pray. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, this affliction, that we have headaches no longer because he can be free, the Lord. We believe together in the history in the name of Jesus Christ. That could be from birth, couldn't it? Lord, again, we don't know what causes these problems of the child's nose, but we know that it can be frequent and it can be widespread in some areas, but Lord, we just know this. Again, you said, suffer with a children under me. And you said, except you become as a child, you couldn't enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, here's a child who's heir to these things by parents and by virtue of being in this building. And we believe you are. Let her be completely healed from this time on. Let it be rectified, Father God. Not going by faith, but going by the word that you said, bring them to me, and you bless them. May she be blessed now. Heavenly Father, we want to pray for Cullen, knowing that he has a lot of strikes against him from birth, but we know that you heal the main. Lord, we know that you put arms on people. There was no limit to what you did. You even took Lazarus, already decayed, 4 days, and raised him. How much more than another child? You say, bring him to me. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name. You left the back. He hears every portion of his child's body become whole, Lord. Not that we wanted to save him from suffering and things like that, but we do want it. The Lord is for your glory because it's in your word. Let him be a living witness and testimony to your grace in Jesus' name we pray. Ears? Yeah. I see a lot of ears get healed. Again, Father, we have the word that said you made the eye to see, and you made the mouth to talk. You certainly made the ear to hear, Lord. So we pray in Jesus' name that your ear becomes unblocked. We care not for medication, those things, but we know they're good. But Lord, in your name, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we pray for a brother to be delivered. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, we'll be fine. Unplug your ear. Well, let's pray for the food, this recurring food. So, yeah, Heavenly Father, we know that you said in your own word that 10,000 falls for that 10,000 rate. That the plague would not come nigh us. And then we see, Lord, the plague of the cold coming, the recurring. And we know, Lord, that that is not your word. We know it is not you. We help our faith at this time, Lord, to see that we do not need to have this and we must not have it. So, Father, to the faith of our sister, myself, and the people here, in the name of Jesus Christ, pray over our sister that this be taken from her now and she be liberated and the body now become normal, so she can do what she should do normally. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, Father, we know that the Holy Spirit is like a general tonic, Lord, for the whole body, the whole God for the whole man, Lord. You make it work. So I pray for Sister Ruth here, God, the little daughter of yours, Lord, a faithful mother and wife. And ask now, Lord, that you give her what she has need of, to serve as she wants to serve, to live as she wants to live, and to live in health. And these own prophets that have served the Lord as entitled to a healthy body. We bring now, Lord, at this time in Jesus' name, you touch her, and she shall be wholly gratified with what takes place within her body. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we know how Junior suffers with this congestion in the body, Lord. Muscle, nerve, whatever set him in here, but Lord God in heaven, you never said he had to suffer this kind of suffering. Our suffering, Lord, is another type, which is the battle of the mind, serving you and all. So Lord, we know that when we feel in our hearts that this thing can go and will go, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we ask your blessing upon it. And may it loosen up right now, Father, and continually get better and better until there become no recurrence because you fortified it in the name of Jesus Christ. I think that's going to be fine. That's good. The Lord bless you. Shall we just then be dismissed and bow our heads in prayer and take the name of Jesus with you? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've been with us today. Were you folk prayed for? Did you ain't get prayed for? Did I miss you? Brother Dennis, did I miss you? Huh? Oh, well, I thought maybe that you were at the end of the line. Come on, we pray for you. I thought it was the end of the line. The girls want to be prayed for? Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, or Brother Dennis, we don't want him going away from here. His needs unattended, because that's why he's here. God, we pray that you'll heal him in the name of Jesus Christ and be very, very evident from this moment on. And we thank you for it. I believe it. I believe it'll be fine. Oh, okay. The heart. Well, we know you have a heart problem. Heavenly Father, we come to you for our sister's heart. And we know, Lord, if we go back in the days of the prophet here upon earth, he prayed for so many people with bad hearts. And remember, Lord God, the one night in Lima when there was 50 miracles in 50 minutes, that one person came with an answer to his failing heart. Absolutely whole. That grace taken off the back, absolutely whole. Everyone, Lord God. And this is no exception, because it wasn't the prophet, Lord. It was you doing the healing. May the same God, the same power, the same virtue flow in our sister's body and heal her completely of her heart for the glory of God. And the tremendous testimony in Jesus' name we pray. Just believe the Lord. Yes. Okay. Well, it's the same in over the years to hear the truth to walk with. Both of these. Heavenly Father, we pray for these two dear little sisters. We know they're good little children of yours, brought up in the right atmosphere. Lord, we know that you would hold no good thing from them to walk upright, and they have this problem, Lord. And we know, Father, that this is something that did not come from you. And so therefore, we have every right to ask for its relief. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray now that there shall be from this moment on an absolute steady progression of perfection in their limbs, so they'll be not only normal, but they will be above normal, with the result of strength and agility in those things, my God, that they have missed up to this day. May there be a full recompense, because we're asking in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe that. If you believe that with me, you believe in the most poverty kids in school and other school. Sure. Lord doesn't just make you better, he makes you better than better. You know, the doctor can't figure why I see so good. According to him, my eye shouldn't see out of my eye. I see, he just looks at me and laughs. You know what? I'll leave the message. Okay. Heavenly Father, we pray for Dave. We know that he's seen good signs of progression. And then, Lord, it seems to slacks off. And we know also that's kind of like the tides of the body. And we don't know any scripture that says the divine healing has its tides of the body. It's tied to you, Lord, in your resurrection. May the Spirit of God touch him now in his body, what lies within his mind that he wants touched. May he see the complete and full results. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Then, Heavenly Father, again, we look to you for this hour of healing, especially the people, knowing as never before from this message of vindicated prophet taught concerning the resurrection. And we see every need in there, Lord. We see more than every need. We see you.
And not only seeing needs, we see above the needs. We see that perfection which you're bringing forth in us in the days to come. Therefore, Lord, it must be relatively simple and easy, if we'd only grasp it, to receive healing for everybody in this building. Everyone can go away in the sweet spirit of Christ, not only better in their hearts, minds, and souls, but as John said, prospering in their body. Grant it, Lord, as we leave this place, there not be one unanswered prayer, and not one person who does not go on from strength to strength and glory to glory. Moving on, Lord, is that invincible army we see in Joel. Nothing stands before them because they're the bride of Christ. Father, help us to this end. Not that we want to mark ourselves as different, but God, we want to be different because your word and your glory and your honor, because of you. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you and see you next Wednesday, 7:30.